Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, text number 32. Na mam ime gyataya atoram gajaha kutaha karinya prabhavanti mochitam grahena pashena vidhatur avrito pi aham cha tvam yami paramam parayanam namam mime gyataya aturam gajaha kuta karinya prabhavanti muchitam grahena pasena vidhatur avrito piyaham chatvam yami param parayanam namami me gyanataya aturam gajaha kutaha karinyaha prabhavanti mochitam grahena pashena vidatur avrito piyaham chatvam yami paramam parayanam namami me gyanataya turam gajaha kutaha karinyaha prabhavanti mochitam grahena pashena vidatur avrito apiyaham chatvam yami param parayanam
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Namami me gyataya aturam gajaha kutakarinyaha prabhavanti mochitam grihena pasena viratura rito piyaham pranamyami parampayanam. Na, not. Mam, me. Ime, all these. Gyatayaha, friends and relatives. The other elephants. Aturam, in my distress. Gajaha, the elephant. Kutaha, how? Karinyaha, my wives. Prabhavanti, are able. Mochitam, to deliver from this dangerous position. Grahena, by the crocodile. Pasena, by the network of ropes. Vidhatu, of providence. Avritaha, captured. Api, although I am in such a position. Aham, I. Cha, also. Tam, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yami, take shelter of. Param, who is transcendental. Parayanam, and who is the shelter of even the exalted demigods. Like Brahma and Shiva. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile, and therefore I seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. Please repeat. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I've been attacked by this crocodile. And therefore I seek the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even the great personalities. Purport. This material world is described as Padam Padam Yad Vipadam. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th verse, text number 58. Which means that at every step there is danger. A fool wrongly thinks that he is happy in this mature world. but in fact he is not. For one who thinks that way is only illusioned. At every step, at every moment, there is danger. In modern civilization, one thinks that if I have a nice home and a nice car, his life is perfect. In the Western countries, especially in America, it is very nice to possess a good car. But as soon as one is on the road, there is danger, because at any moment an accident may take place and one will be killed. The record actually shows that so many people die in such accidents. Therefore, if we actually think that this material world is a very happy place, this is our ignorance. Real knowledge is that this material world is full of danger. We may struggle for existence as far as our intelligence allows, and may try to take care of ourselves. But unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, ultimately saves us from danger, our attempts will be useless. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya neha saranam pitaro nishringha Nartasya chagadam udanvati majatono Taptasya tat patividir ya ihan jaseshtas Tavad vibho tanubritam twad upekshitanam. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.19. We may invent so many ways to be happy or to counteract the dangers of this material world, but unless our attempts are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will never make us happy. Those who try to be happy without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are mudhas, rascals. Namam duskritino mudha prapajante naradamaha. That's from Bhagavad Gita 7.15. Those who are the lowest of men refuse to take to Krishna consciousness because they think that they will be able to protect themselves without Krishna's care. This is their mistake. The decision of the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was correct. In such a dangerous position, he sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa, Tubhyascha, Kripasindubhyavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile. And therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even the great personalities. So, this may give us a question: where is happiness? Prabhupada quotes how in America we think it's very nice to get a vehicle and a nice home. But once we get in that nice vehicle and we drive to our home or drive wherever from our home, then there's a danger. I was looking up how many vehicles there are in the United States. Actually, they have no idea because a lot of them are not registered. But there's an estimate there's about 254 million registered vehicles. And that was in 2007. and it increases every year 3 to 11 million. So if you just average 5 million per year increase, it'd be over 300 million today, cars. And China is catching up with America. And what to speak of other countries. So they say that if you haven't been in a car accident, if you haven't been in a car accident, then consider yourself lucky. Because the car insurance industry estimates that at every 17.9 years, you're due for an accident. So if you get your license at a certain age and then just calculate about 18 years, you're due for an accident. So there's 10 million accidents every year. And 2 million of those people are injured. And about 3 out of 1,000 of those actually die. And that was in 2009. And it's not only you get injured, you destroy your car, but it's also very expensive. They estimated that the average claim in 2010 was over $23,000. So this is happiness in the material world. We look forward to accidents. Life is like a bumper. You get smashed into somebody and it's going to happen. It's an average. Or like they say, life is a bummer and then you die, right? Or is life supposed to be a thrill at every moment? Actually, the whole reason why we're in the material world is to fulfill these material desires, to try to be happy without Krishna. So because we're independent, minutely independent, Krishna creates a facility where, okay, you can have some conditional happiness, right? Just like there's conditions on your insurance and there's conditions about different things, but you can only have it, like in, I heard in Europe or in England, they the government actually provides drug addicts drugs. So instead of having them like rob people and break into stores and, you know, mug tourists, whatever, they have a facility where they can come and get their drugs. But it's conditional. You know, give them so much. And that program may change. It's not like the government are drug pushers or they condone the Queen of England is actually encourages drug addiction. No. But they're doing this as a conditional remedy. So in the same way, we're in the material world conditionally trying to be happy here. And sometimes, as in the case of Gajendra, it takes a crisis to wake us up. And to really see, they say, to tell who your friends really are, to see who they are in a time of crisis. Where are your friends in a time of crisis? You may have very powerful friends, but can they protect you? Draupadi had 5 powerful warriors, and she couldn't be protected by them. She was in the presence of the greatest warrior of all, Bhishma Dev, and some of the most powerful people on the planet, practically in the universe. She took shelter of them. They couldn't protect her. So we find at this time, maybe they may be able to protect you. Or maybe they cannot, like in the case of the elephants, but it's only temporary. It's like they may want to protect you, actually, but they can't. But we're finding out who is actually our real protector. Who is that person, our real friend, who we've forgotten about that can actually protect us? And that's Krishna. Yeah, Krishna is pointing to the deity. Yes, Krishna is our real friend. So Krishna is here. We're actually in touch with him. Prabhupada writes, In the Bhagavad Gita, he refers to the Bhagavad Gita about the grossly foolish who do not surrender to Krishna. There's four types of people. And I'll just read about one of them, and it kind of brings to light more about the mudahas. Prabhupada explains here that they are working hard like beasts of burden. They want to enjoy the fruits of their labor by themselves and do not want to part with them for the Supreme. The typical example of the beast of burden is the ass. The humble beast is made to work very hard by his master. The ass does not really know for whom he works so hard day and night. He remains satisfied by filling his stomach with a bundle of grass, sleeping for a while under fear of being beaten by his master, and satisfying his sex appetite at the risk of being repeatedly kicked by the opposite party. The ass sings poetry and philosophy sometimes, but this brain sound only disturbs others. This is the position of the foolish, fruitive worker who does not know for whom he should work. He does not know that karma action is meant for yajna, sacrifice. And then Prabhupada goes on, just another paragraph. Most often, those who work very hard day and night to clear the burden of self-created duties say that they have no time to hear of the immortality of the living being. To such mudas, material gains, which are destructible, are life's all in all, despite the fact that mudas enjoy only a very small fraction of the fruit of labor. Sometimes they spend sleepless nights or sleepless days and nights for fruitive gain. And although they may have ulcers or indigestion, they are satisfied with practically no food. Ignorant of their real master, the foolish worker wastes their valuable time serving mammon. Unfortunately, they never surrender to the Supreme Master of all masters, nor do they take time to hear of him from the proper sources. The swine who eat the night soil do not care to accept sweetmeats made of sugar and ghee. Similarly, the foolish worker will untiringly continue to hear of the sense-enjoyable tidings of the flickering mundane world, but will have very little time to hear about the eternal living force that moves within the material world. So that's really, Prabhupada is very graphic in explaining how can we really enjoy here. Because we are eternal beings, we want something that's real. So if you want real happiness, then happiness should be unending. It shouldn't be flickering as we experience it here in the material world. It should be forever. And that's what we're looking for. But because we're like mudhas, we settle for something less. We settle for illusory happiness, which is only temporary, and ultimately can't really satisfy. So Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita here also, and quote to this verse by Prahlad Maharaj. Or no, this is from the 10th canto. Prabhupada quotes that in the Bhagavad Gita in the verse 251. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the result of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. And this is in the purport where Prabhupada quotes this verse that he mentioned. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Mukunda, or the giver of mukti, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's footprint, param padam, or the place where there are no material miseries, or Vaikuntha is his goal, not the place where there is danger in every step of life. So Prabhupada, he mentions here in a short paragraph, he goes on to explain, just to bring the point more. Owing to ignorance, one does not know that this material world is a miserable place, where there are dangers at every step. Out of ignorance only, less intelligent persons try to adjust the situation by fruitive activities, thinking that the resultant actions will make them happy. They do not know that no kind of material body anywhere within the universe can give life without miseries. The miseries of life, namely birth, death, old age, and disease, are present everywhere within the material world. But one who understands his real constitutional position as the eternal servitor of the Lord, and thus knows the position of the personality of Godhead, engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Consequently, he becomes qualified to enter into the Vaikuntha planets, where there is neither material miserable life nor the influence of time and death. To know one's constitutional position means to know also the sublime position of the Lord. One who wrongly thinks that the living entity's position and the Lord's position are on the same level is to be understood to be in the darkness, and therefore unable to engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. He becomes a Lord himself and thus paves the way for the repetition of birth and death. But one who understands that his position is to serve transfers himself to the service of the Lord, at once becomes eligible for Vaikuntha Loka. Service for the cause of the Lord is called Karma Yoga or Bodhi Yoga, or in plain words, devotional service to the Lord. So we're seeing here that what is our real duty, what is our real job, instead of self-imposed duties. Actually, everything we should do should be an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we do that, we develop a relationship. We develop a personal relationship with Krishna as a friend and a well-wisher and a protector. And if we do that, then everything we do and every step can be very blissful. This is what Rishabhdev tells his sons. My dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure within this human form of life. Such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, hogs. Rather, you should undergo penances by which your existence will be purified, and as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited, transcendental bliss. And to even confirm this fully more, it says here, this is from Prabhupada, by the result of the work in which one is engaged, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, should be worshipped. So the result of our work, that's how we worship Krishna. If one thinks always in this way in full Krishna consciousness, then by the grace of the Lord, he becomes, wait till the noise so I could hear this nicely. He becomes fully blissful. That is the perfection of life. So that's in Bhagavad Gita in 12.7, Krishna says he takes full charge of delivering the devotee. And then in the Bhagavad Gita, it describes how there's a nice verse from the second chapter, 72 verse. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So this is what happened with Gajendra. At the time of death, he attained Krishna consciousness at once. Within a second, Prabhupada says, you can attain Krishna consciousness. Or it may take you millions of births and deaths. So it's only a matter of understanding this fact that if we surrender to Krishna, if we offer everything to Krishna, then we are in a transcendental state. We're above this material energy. We're above the material reactions of this material world. Here's a nice quote from the second canto. Chapter 20, text 30. The highest perfection of life is to enjoy life constantly in the association of the Lord. And one who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of the material world via other media. So Krishna's, can you imagine the pleasure if it's unlimited? I mean, you could just see a tidal wave. If you see a tidal wave, can you imagine the power? And not only one tidal wave, but many. So Krishna, he can generate unlimited pleasure. His name, his attributes, his pastimes, his entourage, all these things, they're unlimited. And then if we relish those, and we can relish them unlimitedly, and then we'll never feel satiated. And that happiness just increases and increases and increases. I can't imagine, huh? Here's another quote from the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. The central figure of creation and of enjoyment is the Supreme Lord. And the living entities are cooperators. By cooperation, they enjoy. The relation is also like that of the master and the servant. If the master is fully satisfied, then the servant is satisfied. The tendency to become the creator and the tendency to enjoy the material world are there also in the living entities, because these tendencies are there in the Supreme Lord. So we have that tendency, but how do we do it? How do we actually enjoy it? Is by cooperating with the Lord. It's a matter, it's a personal relationship, actually. It's personal. So here it is. Here's the confirmation. So is life a bummer and then you die, or is it a thrill at every moment? What does Prabhupada say? This is the transcendental position of spiritual life. In other words, one who hears the Gita, just hear the Gita from the right source, directly from Krishna, attains full Krishna consciousness. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. So we should see, in Krishna consciousness, we've been here for so long. Are you experiencing a thrill at every moment? If we're not, maybe we're forgetting Krishna. And that could happen. Krishna tells Arjuna, just think of me, focus on me, you know, do everything for me. You know, he wanted to become renounced and go to the forest and meditate. And Krishna says, no, you know, you're a warrior. Just fight. Don't become renounced. Fight, but do it for me. This is intelligence. Do it for Krishna. So he tells him to think of me while you're fighting. And in that way, you'll be free from all this. And he'll experience a thrill at every moment. But at any moment, we can be distracted, right? You may think of something other than Krishna. So what happens? It's described in the Bhagavad Gita that while contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. From attachment, you know, lust develops. And from lust, what happens? We become angry because we never get that. And from anger becomes delusion, and intelligence becomes covered, and then we fall down into the material pool again. So that could happen in a moment. And you can also surrender in a moment. And then you could grab yourself again, grab your mind again, and focus on Krishna. Think of Krishna. Think, what am I doing this for? Is this for me, or is it for Krishna? So this is the transcendental pastimes we see throughout the Bhagavatam and all these transcendental literatures. It talks about these pastimes, these personal relationships with Krishna. And Prabhupada says in the first canto, that is the transcendental lila, or pastime of the Lord. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and his devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison. So look what we have forward to getting. And why would we want to accept anything less? If you're not your body, then whatever you do for the body is illusion, is temporary, is non-existent. But whatever you do for the self, which is you, an eternal person, then that is reality. For the eternal, there's no cessation, but for the temporary, there's no endurance. So it's just a matter of understanding this fact, Prabhupada says. And then we could experience transcendental bliss at every moment. Is there any comments, questions? Okay.
Thank you. Very nice class.
Thank you.
You said that we have a tendency to want to create.
Yes.
And Krishna says that a devotee is like equipoised in his work, his service, and recreation. And so there's this word recreation, which is like re-creation. So how do we like fit that in? Like we. What is recreation in Krishna consciousness?
Okay. Yes, that's a good question. It says in the Gita there, that, what does it say that one who doesn't eat too much, doesn't sleep too much, nor does he recreate too much? You know, everything has to be in moderation. So for every devotee, that will be different. And we have to inquire, you know, really meditate on what we feel that we really need and to perform Krishna consciousness. And that's what this whole pastime is about with Gajendra, is to find our normal position. The normal position for you may be not be the same as for someone else sitting right next to you. So we have to find that. Someone's position may, as Prabhupada's example, as a grihasta, one can fight maya much better as a grihasta than as a brahmachari. So this is what we have to find, that balance. You know, someone, in order to maintain your life, you need to, you know, eat. But how much to eat? You need to exercise. How much to exercise? Like Prabhupada would go for a walk every day. That was his recreation, to recreate. He'd go for a walk. His doctor said, you should walk, and he would walk. And he'd walk faster than his 20-year-old disciples. And he was like in his 70s or 80s. So Prabhupada had that enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is what's needed to actually advance in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter what you know, your physical abilities or ailments or limitations are. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you have that spiritual enthusiasm, that spiritual fire, that desire, then you know you can do amazing things. Look at Kishore Das Babaji, he was practically an invalid, right? I mean, practically none of his senses were working. They'd carry him around in a basket. But when he was brought by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a basket on his back to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, and he said, I think we have found Lord Chaitanya's birthplace here. We brought you here to confirm. And what did he do? He jumped out of the basket and started dancing. This is spiritual enthusiasm. It's not based on any sense hindrances or sense prowess or anything like that. But we're enthusiastic to serve Krishna. And whatever maintains that enthusiasm, enthuse means, is it come from a word enthuse, entheos, from God, right? I think enthusiasm comes from that word. Theos, yeah, Greek word, which, you know, that's how we become enthusiastic, by getting in touch with God, with Krishna. And if we're in touch with Krishna, associating with him, by hearing, we heard just by hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the right source, we can attain the perfection of life and experience transcendental pleasure. So that's how we get enthusiasm, by hearing, by associating, by serving Krishna. So it's, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Any other comments, questions, or realizations? Jai, thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. What's your name again? Oh, I forgot.
Dr. Jeff?
Jack. Oh, okay. Cool. It's falling apart, so be careful.
Jack.
Hare Krishna.